So we're talking about the seven deadly sins. Last week, we introduced to you the idea of envy. And so the question would be, you know, why bother? Why do this? Why talk about sin? I mean, isn't it the goodness of God that leads people to repentance? Yes, it is. But on the other hand, sin creates this inclination to sin. In other words, it engenders vice by repetition of the same acts. You know, my family completely, totally, absolutely just ridicules me to no end because, you know, there's hardly a night of my life that goes by that sometime after 10 o'clock, sometime probably after 11 o'clock at night, there's going to be some eating that happens in my life. All right. And so that activity it's kind of self-feeding. In other words, because I do it, I'm preconditioned to do it. Right. And you know, I'm having trouble sleeping. I laid down, and then sometimes 45 minutes to an hour and a half later, I'm awake again. And some of you men of my age, and women too, are looking at me like you understand what I'm talking about. Younger people don't understand. You just lay down, you go to sleep, you wake up the next day. That's a really great thing when you're able to do that. But I don't know why, but my brain and my body says, time to eat again. All right. Where does that come from? Well, it came from as a teenager, grabbing a bag of chips and headed to bed. You know, when you could eat everything you wanted to, whenever you wanted to, it seemed like a good idea. But that has been preconditioned in my system. And if sin is left unchecked, that repetition of the same acts, it just engenders that vice. And it has a way then of clouding our conscience. 29 times in the New Testament, we have a reference to our conscience. In other words, there's something about sin that does hinder my relationship or my ability then to connect with God. And that's a big problem when I really do need God. I feel like I can't get through because I have this self-condemnation. The oracles of Delphi said very simply, know thyself. So that's the trouble is, it seems that humans have this great, great, great capacity for self-delusion. You know, it's nearly infinite, actually. We ignore, or worse, rationalize our own wretched behavior. It's not that bad. But I'm just saying, if there's something wrong in the machinery, acting like nothing's wrong isn't going to make it better. It just gets worse and it gets worse and it gets worse, right? And so you have to attend to that. And so we need to believe then, and I don't want to keep going over the same scriptures every Sunday morning, but James tells us in the first chapter that the ultimate end of sin is death. Something dies. When we just let sin go unchecked in our lives, then opportunities die, relationships die, something inside of me dies sometimes. And so the idea here is not that, you know, we're up here thumping our Bible at you and say, God doesn't like it when you sin. I don't suppose he does. That's sort of missing the point, really. Sin's ultimate conclusion is always bad news for us. It always is bad. And so it's just helpful to identify what's going on so we can do something about it. When we name a sin found in ourselves, we're confronted in the dark alley of our soul with the saboteurs who seek to prevent our union with God. And so this is kind of a big deal. I want to take care of anything that would hinder my relationship with God, but would also hinder my relationship with my fellow man, with my wife, with my kids, with you, with people in the community. The fact of the matter is other people do know your sin. They're aware of it. And I'm just saying, how about let's be self-aware this morning? Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we do open up our hearts and our minds now to receive your word, which is able to save our souls, our thoughts, our emotions. That soulish part of our life that you could transform us today by the renewing of our minds as we allow your word to wash over us and cleanse us and wash away the bad and bring healing and restoration, Father, today. And so, Lord, as we look at this idea of wrath or anger, if that's found in us today, Father, we first repent. And second, Father, we ask that it would be removed from us, and that patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and love would take its place. That you would teach us to forgive instead of to retaliate, Father, today, in Jesus' name. Amen. I found this poem. It says, "Anger is a virus that needs not even air to propagate contagion whenever it is shared. Anger can't be placed in quarantine to contain its vicious spread. For anger feeds upon itself and burns a flaming red. Anger is all-consuming. Anger does not desist from destroying sensibilities in that haze of its red mist. The root of anger and wrath is this perception that something has been taken from me. Something is now owed to me. Wrath is the result of not getting something that you want, that you think that you deserve. It's easy to believe that the only remedy for our wrath, for our anger, is to pay back, to get even. People ought to pay what they owe, to cancel the debt. So this idea of forgiving for some of us is very, very challenging, because it's like we're going to let this person off of what they owe. I mean, it goes against our sense of righteousness and justice that people, you know, deserve what they get, and they shouldn't be let off the hook. They should pay. So to cancel the debt is to let the guilty party off. The irony, though, is that in most cases, the perceived debt can never be paid. I mean, because most of us have not been aggrieved in some way, maybe financially, that maybe could be paid back. That could be restored. But something's been taken from us. We've been violated in some way. So what restitution is going to make that right? So this idea that people have to pay us back so that we're even now is sort of a myth. That debt really cannot be paid. Wrath is this intense emotional response, forceful even, often vindictive in its action. A person experiencing anger will also experience other physical conditions, such as an increased heart rate, elevated blood pressure, and increased levels of adrenaline. Adrenaline's great when you need it, but adrenaline is really destructive when it doesn't need to be in your system. It's destroying you. You may need it to, you know, run a race. You may need it to climb the mountain, but you don't need that adrenaline rush going through your body in everyday life when you're supposed to be at ease and supposed to be at calm. It's causing big time health issues in our life. Wrath often is disguised as annoyance. I'm not really angry, I'm just annoyed. I'm not really angry, I'm just agitated. No, you're angry. It's disguised as those other things. Anger is used sometimes as a protective mechanism to cover up fear, hurt, or sadness. Have you ever been afraid and you just lashed out in anger? Anger has an effect on all other areas of our life. Anger refuses, this wrath refuses to remain isolated. It's a heart disease. If wrath is lodged in your heart, then before long you come to believe that the world now owes you. Even if one's feelings of anger are justified. Are you listening to me? I mean, sometimes our feelings of wrath and anger are justified. What somebody did, kind of in a human response, deserves an anger. Okay, and that's why I'm picking the word wrath, because wrath is a little beyond just being mad. Wrath is like, I'm thinking about how to get even here. I'm going to make you pay. Because let's be honest, we believe that Jesus never sinned, right? Are you out there this way? We believe that Jesus never sinned, right? Okay, thank you. It's okay. You don't have to get crazy in your response, but I just want to make sure you're still. Yeah, we were driving over yesterday. Can we tell the story? Too late. All right. And Michelle fell asleep in the front seat of the pickup, and Lindy looks up and says, "Is Mom alive?" I mean, she wasn't even flinching, because normally a loud noise or something would just wake her up, you know. But she was just apparently sleeping right through it. Okay, and so I was looking, because I didn't want to wake her up if she was asleep. She had her hands folded, and I saw her thumb twitch. I'm like, okay, we're good. All right, so I just want to make sure you're still breathing out there this morning, okay? I don't want to disturb you too much, but it's okay for you to respond just a little bit. If anger is lodged in your heart, then before long, you're going to come to believe that the whole world is owing you. You'll go around life with this chip on your shoulder that even if your feelings are justified, even if somebody really, really did do you wrong, the question really is, are you going to allow that other person to now control your life? Even if they did something desperately horrible to you, your wrath and anger vented back towards them, but often it isn't really vented back towards that person, it's vented towards everybody all around, especially the people that you live with, because they're handy and they're sort of a safe target, because they're going to love you anyway, maybe. But those feelings can give other people now power and control over your life. Angry people nurse and rehearse the hurt. Let me tell you about what happened to me. Justifying behavior by reciting your story gives ongoing power to the people that hurt you. So when we have this perceived wrong, somebody owes me. If that becomes then our mentality, then it makes you now the victim. Victims are no longer in control of their outcomes. And victims always have excuses. So as long as you hang on to your excuse, then your solution will never come. But I'm telling you, something is being destroyed in your wrath. Something's being destroyed in your anger. Something really is dying. All of these opportunities that you should be having in life are escaping you because of this overwhelming anger and wrath that is going on in your life. So let's look then at Ephesians chapter 4 this morning. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 reads this way. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth to his neighbor. For we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Here's what I wanted to say about Jesus. Jesus was perfect in every way. So I believe that we can be angry and not sin. My idea of Jesus going into the temple and cleansing the temple wasn't like, hey, guys, you know, come on, you know, you're not supposed to be doing this. Yeah, I'm just going to ask nicely. Would you just like take your stuff and just like clear out of here? Golly gee, you know, no. I mean, we have a very good description of Jesus in an angry tone going on and saying, this is my Father's house and you've turned it into a house of thieves. Now get out of here. I mean, he's kicking the tables over. He's taking a whip and driving them out. So you can be angry and not sin. But you're also not Jesus, so I wouldn't push it too far, okay? So I'm just saying, when you're feeling that anger, it might be justified. But then you're going to have to do something with that. You're going to have some kind of real cathartic release there. You're going to have something constructive to do with it. Because if that anger begins to take root, then it becomes real wrathful. And now you're going to seek revenge and you're going to destroy yourself and people around you, okay? So the idea that you're never going to be angry or that's never going to come to you, that's unrealistic, because until you're in heaven just with Jesus and the other saints of God in our perfected state, you know, outside of this realm that we're in right now, you know, there's just going to be that opportunity that people aren't going to always do what you want them to. Or that, even worse, you know, that I do stupid stuff. And for me to be angry about that, you know, I came, you know, back over to the house the other day and somebody said, hey, fridge isn't working. Like, like everything smells in here. I'm like, yeah, I think it's working. The door didn't get shut. Then there was nobody else there except me. So I got mad. I'm like mad at myself. I'm like, you know, spoiled good food. I wasted good money. You know, I'm smarter than this. And so I'm angry. But I'm telling you what, you can have some failures happen in your life over and over again. And you got to be careful of just letting that rage and that anger become self-inflicted. You're just going to do some stuff. And you're going to make some mistakes. And you probably need to lighten up just a little bit. I mean, if Jesus is asking us and the scriptures asking us to be kind and gentle with one another, some of you need to be a little more kind and gentle with your own self when you fail and when you make mistakes. So let's look at this some more. Ephesians 5. It says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. That doesn't have to be a hard, fast rule. When you were first married and you're trying to follow Jesus and you're having this fight, come on, and you go, hey, Bible says, you know, we can't go to bed angry. We can't let the sun go down on our wrath. Man, you may be in for an all-nighter is all I'm saying. I mean, it's a great idea. Let's just go ahead and, you know, forgive and love one another. But sometimes it's not that simple, is it? And sometimes you need to stop talking now. Sometimes maybe sleeping on it is a good idea, okay? So don't use this one scripture as some hard, fast rule that can never be, like there's other scriptures. Are you following me? How many of you pushed the fight too long? You know, I forget who it was. Phyllis Diller, the great Phyllis Diller, to quote in church. All right. says, yeah, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Stay up and fight. It's an actual quote. So I'm saying that's not necessarily a hard, fast rule. Sometimes you need to just zip it for a while and say, let's sleep. Have you ever come back a little bit later and you were a little bit more reasonable? And you were a little bit, you know, less. So while the anger's really flying, maybe it's time to let it go for a little bit. All right, just a little aside. It says, give no place. Verse 27, give no place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who is in need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. I'm very grateful that Paul gave a very lengthy description of what this wrath and anger could look like. It could look like bitterness. It could look like this retaliation. It could just be this angry emotion. Clamor is actually just evil speaking. So when you're angry, you want to talk about it. And you want to talk about it in a way that justifies your feelings. Are you following me? This clamor, you want other people to be mad too. You want them to agree with you. So you keep trying to run this other person through the mud. Are you listening to me? And that's clamor. It's evil speaking. And so there's a solution. And all you're going to do, if that's your response to this violation, is you're just going to keep yourself whipped up into a frenzy. You're going to keep that hatred and that anger and that wrath stirred up. But we actually see the solution here in what Paul wrote to the church. He said, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. So it's very, very important that what you're going to say when you have these feelings of anger and this wrath that's rising up on the inside of you. But now it's time for you to choose your words very carefully. And again, some of us haven't been very good at that in our lives. You know, when we're mad, we say things and then we justify it. Well, I wouldn't have said that if I wasn't mad. Well, even if you're mad, don't say it, because if you say it when you're mad, those words can't be reeled back in. People heard them. You know, it's a ridiculous thing that we said when we were kids. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never harm me. The opposite is true. Hey, I'm going to heal up from sticks and stones. I mean, look, I've hit the ground a lot of times in the different athletic activities that I've been involved in. Sometimes it had other people involved that were trying to put me on the ground and hurt me and so forth. And all of those things have healed. Are you listening to me? But I remember some things that people said to me. So when you're angry, the first thing that you need to do is guard your mouth. And make sure that what's going to come out of here isn't going to do some lifelong damage. But think about, is this going to make it better or is it going to make it worse? And we've all done the wrong thing, haven't we? But as long as we allow ourselves to be the victim here, as long as we hang on to our excuses, the solution never comes. Payback and revenge are not the solution to anger. The Greek term here, where it says put away from you this bitterness, this wrath, this anger, this clamor, this evil speaking, this idea of putting it away, put away from you means to remove or to separate yourself from it. Have you ever just walked into a spider web that you weren't anticipating? I guess if you were anticipating, you wouldn't have walked into it, right? I mean, have you ever, you know, like in a dark room and all of a sudden you walked into this spider web? What is your automatic response to that? Oh, yes. Thank you, Javen. All right. Could you do that again for me? All right. All right. Anybody else have that kind of response? Have you walked into the spider web and all of a sudden you were like... Anybody else ever done that in your life? I was hanging out with Jed and Cheryl the other day at their house, and we're out on the front porch praying, and Jed and I weren't quite as holy as Cheryl. We were watching and praying. In other words, we were praying with our eyes open, okay? And all of a sudden, we were getting dive-bombed by this wasp. And I kept seeing Jed going, you know? And it was like, I'm like, what's going on? It's like, oh. And this thing's like swooping down. And Cheryl's just lost in the moment, just praying, just being so holy and righteous and just praying these great things about the church and so forth. And Jed's like, you know, I'm just saying, we know how to put things off in this contest. We know how to, if we walked into the wrong thing, we know how to get rid of that thing, right? We know how to get out of there. I mean, if you ever walked, you know, some of you are like deathly afraid of snakes, right? And some of you aren't. Some of you really are not afraid of snakes. But if they startle you, your first response, even if you are a snake loving person and I'm not, but even if you are, your first response isn't like, oh, hey, buddy. You know, I mean, what's going on? I mean, your first response is like, I got to get away from this danger. And we've got to treat anger and wrath in that same way. When we walk into it, when we recognize that blood's boiling on the inside of us and we're getting ready to say something, or we're getting ready to do something that's very damaging, Paul told us what to do. He said, get that thing off of you. Get it off of you right now. I mean, there might be a spider in that web. There might be, you know, if it's a, you know, we're moving into the neighborhood and somebody's telling me about, you know, in the trees here, there's a lot of, you know, the recluse, you know, is that brown recluse spider? Oh, yeah, they live in all these attics. I'm thinking, yeah, that's, well, welcome to the neighborhood. Thank you. God bless you. That's awesome. I was just up in that attic the other day, you know, fixing some wiring that was a little askew, all right? You know, there's just some things that weren't wired together and some things were wired improperly. And you know, I wanted the bathroom to all work correctly, you know. And I'm thinking, oh, man. But I'm telling you, if I'd have got into a web up there, even if I didn't know that, you know, brown recluse lives in these attics around here, I would have assumed there was a spider there. I would assume that if I get bitten, come on, you know, bad things happen. You know, I've seen people, you know, just like big spider bites and you know, they have this big, ugly, you know, hole, gash. And I don't want that. But we've got to treat, instead of justifying our anger, instead of justifying our wrath, come on, we could justify it because what they did was really wrong. But I'm telling you, it's hurting you. And it's hurting people around you. We've got to put that thing off of us. Forgiveness is the way to throw this wrath off. Forgiveness feels, come on, can we be honest? Forgiveness feels like a decision to reward my enemy. That's what it feels like. If I forgive you, then you didn't even pay. I didn't even get even. I mean, you just took something from me and I'm going to forgive you. It's like rewarding your bad behavior. That's what it feels like. But how many of you have been walking with Jesus long enough to understand a lot of things that don't feel right are right? Like Jesus is kind of counterintuitive. Like Jesus suggested a way that was different than our normal course. And then you followed that long enough to realize, hey, this didn't really feel right when I was first doing it. But all of a sudden, you know, I'm doing this Jesus thing and I'm doing it the way he wants. And it's feeling a lot better. I mean, can I pick on Rodney? I'm not asking Rodney, I'm asking you guys. Can I pick on Rodney a little bit? All right. Rodney's working on his golf swing like all the time. I've only known Rodney like a few months now. I mean, I don't know how many times he's changed his golf swing since I've known him. In like 6 months. But I guarantee you when he's changing that swing, the first several times he's swinging that club, it's like not feeling right. It's like, and he wants to go back to that old habit. Come on. But he's wanting a different result. And to get a different result, you have to do something different. Come on, anger and wrath has been destroying things in your life, some of you. For some of you, it's been destroying things in your life, and forgiving doesn't feel right, but doesn't mean it's wrong. Just because it maybe doesn't feel right doesn't mean it's wrong. Are you listening to me? I mean, because it is right. You know inherently that it's right. You know that following Jesus, you know reading the Bible, you know it's what you're supposed to do, but you're just thinking, hey, can't do it. So what do? We've got to learn how to forgive. And it might be a process. I mean, some of you, like, forgiving other people is so easy. And the rest of us are so jealous of you. Maybe there's other Christian virtues that's more difficult for you. I've known people, it's just easy for them to forgive. Don't you wish you were that person? Don't you understand the joy and the freedom and the peace that they're living in, being able to forgive easily? For the rest of us, we're going to have to learn how to do it. I mean, you didn't learn how to ride a bicycle the first time you put your foot on the pedal. You fell over several times, right? Before you learned how to do it. And we think that because, you know, I've tried to forgive, and I guess my forgiver's broke or something. I mean, it's not. It's just not a natural thing. And the longer you've lived and the more you've lived with just wrath and anger and retaliation, it's just not a natural fit, but it doesn't make it wrong. You can learn a new trick. And this one is so liberating. It's so like you even believe, if I could get this other person, if I could get this thing out of my head and out of my heart, my life would be so much better. And there's no other way except forgiveness. So it might be something you have to practice. Might be something you have to do by faith. Might be something you have to do whether you feel like it or not. Or whether it even seems like you're even being genuine. Like, you know, two kids on the playground fighting. You know, what do you make them do? You make them shake hands and say, I'm sorry. But there's something healing about it. Even, and you go, you can tell they don't mean it, right? Why do you make them do it anyway? Because it's the right thing to do. And you're trying to teach them a new behavior. You're trying to teach them to forgive whether they feel like it or not. And to apologize whether they feel like it or not. And to forgive whether they think the other person really is at fault or not. As Christians, we forgive not because the other person deserves it. We forgive because we have been forgiven. It is unlikely that you will ever feel like forgiving. So you can't wait till you feel like it. In the shadow of the cross, forgiveness is a gift from one undeserving soul to another. Forgiveness ensures your freedom from the prison of bitterness. And when you extend forgiveness, there's a sense that you're set free from the other person's sin as well. So when I forgive, I'm released from the bitterness and the anger and the wrath and the evil speaking. But I'm also released from this violation also. So let's wrap this up, and let me just give you a little exercise for some of us that this isn't easy. It's not natural, but we believe it to be right. So if we're going to slay wrath with forgiveness, first we have to identify who you need to forgive. I mean, if you're angry, you're angry about something. Who do you need to be, you know, to forgive? Some of you are mad at God because something didn't work out the way that you believed that it should have. So remember this, that forgiving and forgetting are not the same. Laura read to us from Psalm 103 this morning. And in Psalm 103 it says, as far as the east is from the west, He remembers our sins no more. Isn't that awesome? God remembers your sins no more. It's the basis for our being able to go forward after we sin and after we fail and after we fall down, after we make a mistake. But so then we have this idea that we have not forgiven somebody if we still remember it. Like, I still remember it, so I must not have forgiven them. Well, no. You can forgive somebody and still remember. You can forgive somebody and remember that it hurt. You can still remember, and all of a sudden that angry emotion rolls back up, and it doesn't mean you have not forgiven them. Are you listening to me? And so what happens then when those emotions come back, we grab a hold of it again. Emotions will lie to you. Emotions are unreliable. We have emotions. We just can't be ruled by them. We can't allow them to dominate our lives. We live by our decisions, and then we let those emotions follow that decision. But many of us are allowing our emotions to drive us and to rule us. And so that anger, that hatred, that bitterness, that wrath, it just keeps this vicious cycle that will not ever end because we remember it and we grab a hold of it again. So we need to identify who we need to forgive, and we need to identify what they owe us. We need to be able to name the grievance. Listen. And I wrote this in red in my notes, so I'd make sure I'd say it. General forgiveness does not heal specific hurts. Amen. So when you're forgiving, you've got to be able to name that. Lord, I forgive so-and-so for X, what they did to me. For, you know, never pay me back the $10. That I loan them. Whatever. You cannot cancel a debt that you have not clearly identified. And then what you do is you cancel the debt. It's an act of your will. You say something to this effect: Heavenly Father, today, I choose to forgive so-and-so. I have held on to this debt long enough. I canceled the debt. So-and-so doesn't owe me anymore. Just as you forgave me, I forgive them. That's an action of your will. You can forgive anybody you choose to forgive. In fact, it's imperative that you do so. Or you're going to allow rage, this anger, this bitterness, this clamor, this just to rule your life. Now, you don't always have to tell the other person that you've forgiven them unless they have apologized. Okay? If someone apologizes to you, then you can say, I forgive you. But it might not always be a great idea to make a phone call to someone who's not apologized. Because if they have not apologized to you, they believe that you're wrong and they're right. All right? So it's just kind of snotty, and it's just kind of starting to pick the fight all over again to call somebody up or have the meeting and say, I just want you to know I forgive you. What do you mean you forgive me? See, you don't have to have an apology to extend forgiveness. In fact, you may wait the rest of your life. And we've got a lot of people in our life. How many of you have some people in your life that you've never actually heard them apologize to anybody about anything ever? Okay. So you're going to wait for them to apologize so you can forgive them? So you're just going to hold this the rest of your life then? So I can, hey, God forgave me when I wasn't even looking for forgiveness. Some of you are so full of just this wrath today. I mean, you paint it up and you cover it so great on Sunday morning. You're so nice when you come in this building. It's awesome. And we're glad you're on your best behavior because we don't want to see that. We really don't. But you know it's there. Now let somebody cut you off in traffic. And it's there. You know, let somebody burn your toast, man. It's there. And then we need to dismiss the case. Memories and feelings will return. They will. Here's some wrong responses. When that memory returns, man, I take a hold of it again. I start cranking that thing back up. I start talking about it again. That's not the right thing to do. Or that thought comes back to me and I'm just not going to think about it. I'm just not going to think about it. I'm just not going to think about it. You know, that's like me trying to not think about a bag of chips, you know, when I wake up. All right. I mean, this is all I'm thinking about now is chips. Are you listening to me? All right. No, you can't just stop thinking about something. You have to replace those thoughts with better thoughts. A better response is to just face it and say, hey, he or she doesn't owe me. I canceled that debt. I remember canceling that debt. Are you following me? When those thoughts come back, when those feelings, when those emotions come back, you have to go back to that action of your will and go, no, I took care of this a long time ago. I am not going to be drugged down by my emotions again. I have already forgiven this person. You got to face it and just deal with it and respond in a better way to it. I canceled that debt. Pray and thank God for his grace and his strength. I mean, that's why Jesus said, pray for those who spitefully use you. Why? Hey, man, you're angry and you're angry at that person. You're angry again at that person. You want to get rid of that? Start praying that God blesses them and start. I mean, you know, that even your sense of justice at some point will go, hey, you know, I'm going to stop being angry at this person because I keep praying God's blessing on him. That doesn't even seem fair. All right. But what will happen is God will change your heart. And you don't even care. You don't even want them to be repaid. You don't want something bad to happen to them anymore. And now you're free. I mean, there's a practicality to Jesus' teaching, I'm telling you. And we look at it like it's some big thing that's, oh, man, just following Jesus so hard. I wish you'd just stop saying that. Man, this following Jesus thing, this walking in love thing, this forgiveness thing is so hard. No, the opposite is true. Harboring grudges. Retaliation, getting even. That's hard. I mean, just watch a little History Channel and watch some Vikings if you can stand all the blood and guts, all right? Retaliation's hard. I mean, you got to keep something going for generations. And if somebody dies, you got to take up your brother's offense. And I mean, it's the whole world. This painting that Heather did for us says never war again on the top of it. Is that German? Never war again. Every war is out of wrath and anger and hatred and you know, what's yours should be mine and what you took, I got to get back. And you know, I want what I don't have. And it's just, that's the extreme bloodshed and killing and plundering and raping and pillaging. And all of that is the extreme of wrath. But man, it's happening to us all in our life all the time. And it's just hard. It's hard living with wrath and anger, and it's killing you. And Jesus can set you free today. I said, Jesus can set you free today. I said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Your emotions will lie to you. Live by your decisions. You decided to forgive. Feelings are the last thing that come around. Nothing can make up for the past. Let me just say this in closing before we pray for people. Nothing can make up for the past. There's an emotional element involved in hurt that cannot be compensated through apologies, promises, or even financial restitution. To some degree, there's always going to be that outstanding debt. To pursue payback is futile. It won't happen. It can't happen. To insist on it is to set yourself up for unnecessary heartbreak. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, if you will, please. I really don't want to point you out. I don't really want to bring you forward to pray for you. But there's people in the room, people watching, that absolutely that wrath and anger is a real stronghold in your life, in your thoughts, your emotions. I mean, and then you're just so mad even at yourself that your own anger and wrath has cost you so much. It's cost you so dearly. It's destroyed so many people and so many things, so many opportunities in your life. It's really just time for the madness to end, really. So let me just pray. And look, this isn't just going to be some magic wand. Now all the rage will be gone and all the wrath's gone, all the anger's gone. But I do also believe in healing. I believe that healing can come immediately. But then you're going to have to walk it out. Walk out your salvation with fear and trembling. You're going to need to do these things that we talked about in today's message. I'm going to pray for you that you have the strength, that you have the boldness, that you have the courage to forgive who you need to forgive. And that you would allow the healing power of God to remove this wrath and anger from your hearts and your minds. Let's pray. Father, right now I do pray for my dear brothers and sisters, that you would that your grace would be multiplied to them right now to forgive. In the same way that you've forgiven us, that they would be able to forgive now those who have sinned against them. We ask, dear Heavenly Father, that healing and restoration would come, that this anger, this bitterness, this root of bitterness would be plucked up from the roots right now. This bitterness, this wrath, this anger would be removed from the hearts of your dear sons and daughters right now, and that it would be replaced with love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, faithfulness and gentleness and self-control right now in Jesus' name. Let me just say this. God's not mad at you. He loves you. You have not done something that's unforgivable. In fact, if you're sitting in this service, if you're watching this service right now, that's proof positive to me that you're being drawn by the Spirit of God towards restoration with God, towards connection with God. God has already forgiven you. all He wants from you right now is for you to receive that gift of life, that gift of forgiveness, everlasting life. And if that's you, with every head bowed and every eye closed and no one's looking around, say, that's me. I need to receive God's love and forgiveness today, and I'm ready to give my life to Jesus and start my walk of faith with Him. Is that anybody in the room right now? Real quick, would you hold up your hand so I can pray for you right now? All right. God bless you. Everybody look up. Amen.